Good evening, church. I want to just welcome you back to our service today. If this is your first time joining us here at Sunday Online, we'd like to welcome you to our services and invite you to join us each and every Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we want to worship you. We want to adore you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Holy Spirit, we just pray for your guidance. Lord, won't you speak to me, won't you speak into my heart, and won't you speak into my listeners' hearts, that we can understand your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for the last couple of weeks, multiple weeks in fact, we've been going through what Jesus did for you. And for the last 3 weeks, you might notice that I didn't produce any videos and I was on a sabbatical. I just needed a break, and so I got some rest and relaxation. It's the first time in a couple of weeks that I have had a bit of a break. And so I'm strong and I'm healthy and I'm back again. Not that I was sick, I just needed just to have some just time of recovery. So as I say, for multiple weeks, we've been preaching about what Jesus did for you. And today I want to talk about that he gave us his name. And this will flow over into next week as well, because I can't do everything in this single week. So I'm going to do a bit of it this week, do a bit next week, and I might even do a bit more the week after and just give you the revelation. But I just wanted you to remember that Calvary, where Jesus died for all time, for all sin, for all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future, that was the main reason Jesus came to the earth, to pay the price for sin, to live the perfect life as a man, and as a perfect man, to be a one-time sacrifice for the sin of the entire world. And this is an undisputed fact in Scripture. You can even find historical references to Jesus living and dying on the cross. And these word studies we've been doing is just to discover the deeper richness of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross. But I want you to focus that Jesus died for your sin. And the words we were looking at are trying to describe what he did all for us. Because when he died on the cross, he died for our sin, but he died for, and he did so much more than just die for our sin. And I don't know how to say it any more plainly. Yes, that he died for our sin would be incredible, but he did so much more. He not only died for our sin, he restored us to God. He gave us the ability to be in God's presence. He made us in right standing with God. He made us just as if we haven't sinned, and all the other things we've discussed. It's a historical fact that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and was put to death by a Roman governor named Pontius Pilate on a wooden cross on the hill of Golgotha, where he gave up his spirit and died. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven to place his precious blood on the mercy seat in the tabernacle of heaven, as I've mentioned so many times. The whole of Hebrews 9 talks about this, and I'd encourage you to go and read Hebrews chapter 9, but particularly verses 11 to 15. But the whole of 9 talks about this. And this is what God has planned since Genesis 3:15, that the seed of a woman would crush the head of the serpent and he would be wounded. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did. You know, John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was this Word that was with God from the beginning. And verse 2 says, "He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made." So nothing was ever made without the Word. "And without him nothing was made that has ever been made. Verse 4, in him was the life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And if you go and read in, a bit further, around about verse 14, it actually says this word was Jesus, or was the Messiah. When Jesus entered into this world, he destroyed the kingdom of darkness. Just his presence, by his glorious light, he destroyed Satan's kingdom with light. And what's the first thing that God said? Let there be light. And this is about, this is the NIV version that we're talking about here. But the other versions say the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not or never understood it. So in the King James, it says overcome it, but that overcoming is actually translated as understanding. Can you imagine if Satan understood the implications of Jesus coming to this earth until it was really too late? You know, after Jesus had risen up into heaven, only Satan then realized the implication of Jesus. Do you think for 1 minute Satan would have crucified Jesus Christ if he knew that his entire kingdom would fall or be defeated by God? But it was, and he was not aware of it. God gave Jesus a name because he was faithful, because he submitted to God and God's plan for mankind. God gave Jesus a name that is above all names. When Jesus Christ submitted to the will of God, God exalted him, or lifted him up to a place where he had a name that is above, capital N, above all small letter N names. He is now known as King, capital K, of all kings, and Lord, capital L, of all lords. But he also has a name, capital N, that's above all other names, small little N. And this is truly incredible, because it means that everything we can name is under the name of Jesus. This includes every sickness, every disease, every name we can name or call a thing, a person, a place, an action, a state of being, like depression, lack, poverty, fear, anxiety, to name a few. God gave Jesus a name, capital N, that is above or superior to any other name or person which we can name, including every name of every being in the kingdom of darkness, including Satan himself. That is incredible. You know, Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11 says, in verse 5, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to get the mind of God. We need to get the mind of Christ. So have the same mindset as Christ. Verse 6, who being in the very nature of God. He was God. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was and is God. But being in the nature, being in the equivalent, or being the same as God, did not consider that equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. That's incredible. Jesus, being God, was so humble that he was willing to submit to being under the authority of God and to do what God asked him to do. Verse 7, rather he made him, that's Jesus, made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in the likeness, in human likeness. Can you imagine having all the power that God has? All angels and all rulers and principalities, everything worshipping you and doing your bidding. And then he gets confined to a human body and all those limitations that he had. He did that. And being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Not only did he humble himself to become a man, he humbled himself even to die. Remember, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He gave up his spirit and died. No one killed Jesus. He died because he wanted to die. He died because he chose to die. He died because he gave up his spirit by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Can you imagine? the Lord and Savior, God's only Son, God Himself, hanging on the cross, submitting to Roman soldiers. The Bible says He could have called on 10 legions of angels to rescue Him in a moment. Can you imagine that? Even death on the cross. Therefore, God, because He was willing to do all this, God exalted Him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. Verse 10, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So according to these verses, Jesus submitted to God's plan for him, even though Jesus was God. He submitted to the will of God and came to this earth to serve humanity. By becoming a human with all those limitations of a human, He got hungry, He got tired, He was tempted, He went to the bathroom, and so much more. Then He humbled Himself even more by giving up His life to pay for mankind, people that didn't deserve it, people that rejected Him. Remember, the Pharisees and the majority of the people rejected Him. Only these disciples and a couple of followers believed Him, but most people rejected Him. And, I've lost my place now. He humbled Himself by giving up His own life for these people that didn't want to know Him. And for people that didn't even know Him. I mean, He gave His life up for even the heathens, even those soldiers that were crucified. Jesus paid the price for their sins too. No one killed Jesus, as I said before. The Bible clearly says that Jesus gave up His spirit. And therefore, because He was willing to submit and lay down His life, God raised Jesus up to the highest place, above every other name, above anything in all creation, as the verse says, to the highest point in all creation, and gave Jesus a name, capital N, that is far superior to any other name in all creation. Do you understand this? That Jesus has a name that is above every other name. And you know, there are people that don't want to believe in Jesus, people who don't want to acknowledge Jesus, people that think that Jesus is just another person, people that don't think Jesus is God. Whatever they believe. You either believe and confess Jesus Christ is Lord now, or one day you will stand before the throne and you will bow the knee and you will declare, including Satan, will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Wow. That is this name, the name of Jesus Christ. At that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Isn't it strange that we use Jesus' name as a curse word? You don't hear people saying Allah as a curse word, or Krishna, or any other God. But Jesus Christ is used all over the show. I mean, I cringe when I hear it, because this name is above every other name, and they're trying to belittle it and trying to use it as a swear word, as a curse word. Wow, they're going to pay big time. And that, and you see, you either bow now or you will bow in the future. You will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. But not only did God give Jesus a name that is above all names, listen to this. Jesus gave you and me, His children, His followers, the authority to use His name. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 to 19. And He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19, I have given you, yes, you and me, authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. So that's every dark force of Satan, everything, every word, every person, every name that will set itself above the name of God, including every sickness, every disease, everything. When you realize that a name is like a noun, I'll actually elaborate more on that. But anything you can call, all those names have to bow. Cancer, poverty, sickness, disease has to bow at the name of Jesus. And it says, and your temple scorpions overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Verse 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or written in heaven. I don't want to rejoice that I have power over and dominion over Satan's kingdom. I want to rejoice that my name, Martin de Villiers, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you should be doing the same. Not only did Jesus defeat the kingdom of Satan, and does he have a name that is above every other name, but Jesus has also given us, his disciples, his followers, the right, the privilege, the ability to use the name of Jesus to defeat the kingdom of Satan. You've been given the power to bind and release and to loose things on this earth as well as in heaven. The name of Jesus is the foundation for us, his followers, because through his name, we have the power to defeat the kingdom of God. You have no power. I have no power. We have to submit to Jesus Christ. You have to come to a place where you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and receive him as your Savior. Otherwise, you have no power. You can't even have, you don't even have the ability or the power to use that name. But when you come to Jesus and when you believe that he is God and you acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10 verse 9 to 13 says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you are saved, if you are his child, then you have this ability, you have this power to defeat Satan by the name of Jesus. Not your own power. We have no power. All power I have or you have is in the name of Jesus. As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've been given the ability and all authority of the power of the name of Jesus to use against the kingdom of darkness. Not against people, against the kingdom of God, darkness, as long as you belong to him and are under his authority. James 4 verse 7 clearly says, submit to God. It says verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee. Many people read the scripture, resist the devil and he will flee. No, submit to God first and then resist the devil and he will flee. You know, just go and ask the seven sons of Sceva. Go and read Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 20. They thought that they had power. They went and tried to cast out a demon that was in a man. There were seven of them, seven grown men. And they said, in the name of Jesus and Paul, we cast out the demon. And then the demon said, well, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then he got out and beat the living daylights out of them, stripped them naked, and they went running down the street in shame. But with the name of Jesus, that demon has no power, nothing. As we close this week's introduction to the power of the name, and there's so much more. You know, I get so excited. You know, God gave me a revelation earlier this year, actually maybe late last year, about the power of the name. And I would like to explain it to you, but I have to build a foundation. So I want to recap some of the things we spoke of. When Jesus submitted to God and became a man and gave up his spirit and died for the sin of the entire human race, your and my sin and everyone else's sin, God gave him, Jesus, a name that is above, superior, far above every other name. And look at it as a noun. I said it just now, but look at it as a noun. A noun is a name, a thing, or a place. That's a noun. So any name, anything, any place has been put under the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and you have the authority under the lordship of Jesus Christ to bind and to loose whatever these things are doing in your life. That means that every name of every sickness, every disease, anything we can name, like sickness, like poverty, like cancer, like anything, must bow at the name of Jesus, under the lordship of God. That's Matthew 18, 18, 19, and 20. God gave Jesus this name above all principalities, over all powers, over all rulers. Next week we'll look at this. And all the dark ages, including Satan himself. Jesus gave us the use of this name to his disciples, to those who are under his authority. Any born-again believer who will exercise his faith in God and God's word and believe that this is for them, those who are in submission to God and his word and to Jesus, Jesus has given the power of his name to cast out demons, spirits, devils, and even Satan himself, and to bind their power in Jesus' name in your life, in this world, and in the ages to come. You have the power in Jesus' name. You in yourself, again, have no power, but all the power is in the name of Jesus. And under at the name of Jesus, all other power is under that name. And everything under earth and above the earth and on the earth, you've been given the power to loose and to bind these things, according to Matthew 18, 18 and 20. All we need to do is believe God's word. All we need to do is accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Call on the name of Jesus. Be saved, and you have been given this authority. Believe that you have this power through the name of Jesus, and be in submission under the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ, and we can make a difference in this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your name. Thank you for the name of Jesus. It's the name above all names, over every principality, power, and force. Father, you've given us this name to exercise authority over things above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth, that we have the power to loose and to bind things on this earth. And when you loose and bind them on this earth, they are loosed and bind or bound in heaven. Father, help us to realize this authority, not to brag or boast, but just to, in humility, come before you, receive you, Lord, as our Savior, and to act on the behalf of other people and ourselves, and to defeat the kingdom of Satan every single time. We thank you, Lord, for every person that's heard this message. I pray for those who don't know you, Lord, that they might know you and know the power of your name. And those, Lord, who have not exercised the power that is in Jesus Christ and have not bound and loosed things in their lives, Lord, that they'll have the boldness and the faith to do what your word says. Lord, that they'll step up and do what Matthew 18, 18, 19, and 20 says, and that they will do what Philippians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says about the power of your name. And Lord, as we go through this week, Lord, just bless us, protect us, be with us. Yeah, in South Africa, we're getting cold, Lord. Keep us warm. Lord, you know the load shedding and all the things that are happening in South Africa. We pray your blessing over our country, over our nation, over our pastors and leaders, and especially over our president and the ministers. And we pray for the whole world, Lord. We thank you that COVID vaccines and all that have been stopped, that we don't have to wear masks and things like that. We just honor you and praise you and thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And I ask you to bless my friends, protect them, keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. We've come to the end of this meeting. Please join me next week when I'll continue with the power that we have in the name of Jesus. And we'll go a bit deeper into this, this topic. God bless you. Have a lovely evening. Have a lovely day, have a lovely week, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.